Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Hi there, this is Lloyd Auerbach for the Forever Family Foundation. I'm subbing in this time around, and I am currently, just to let you know who I am, if you haven't heard my voice before, I am the president of Forever Family Foundation. I'm a parapsychologist and an author, and I do a lot of these shows, but usually on the other side, the receiving end, rather than the interviewing end. And I'm very happy to say that I have a great guest for us tonight. We have Eliza Ray, who's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and a research medium with the Winbridge Research Institute, where she takes part in scientific research. Eliza has experienced intuitive abilities since she was a very young child and was able to visualize and hear messages for and from her family. A tragic accident occurred when she was 18 years old, involving the deaths of her brother and father, which motivated Eliza to further develop more of a connection with those on the other side. In addition to her private practice of psychic mediumship in Arizona, Eliza also developed a program that includes workshops for parents who have intuitive children. You can find her website at www.elizaray, that's R-E-Y, so elizaray.com. Eliza, welcome to the show tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here and hosting it tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, actually. Not that mediumship is not one of my favorite topics, but we are going to talk about psychic dreams. It's something I've been involved in for quite some time. So, you know, most people would say that mediumship to psychic dreaming seems like a big leap, although I know that in this field it's really not. So why psychic dreams for you?
Well, my whole life I've experienced psychic dreams, and it came to a point when I was maybe 10 or 11 where my family would be like, she had a dream that Uncle So-and-so is going to die, or she had a visitation from so-and-so, and then people started believing me, and then I started believing me pretty young, and you know, I'm up there, I'm not anywhere close to 10 years old now, but I've also had a lot of dreams of signs and warnings and things of that shape pretty much my whole life. And they've been helpful to me. I tend to be very, I guess you could say, sensitive to lots of things, nature, food, people. And so I think the dreams helped me to prepare for any kind of death in the family or any birth that came in the family too, which is pretty cool.
So, you know, there's a range of different kinds of psychic experience within a dream. Do you find yourself having more than one type? You know, like, do you have more precognitive dreams than you do other kinds of dreams?
I'll have precognitive dreams, and then I'll have dreams of family members that have passed. And it's usually right after they've passed. And then sometimes it takes a year or two for them to come back in my dreams. I've had some experiences where I guess you could say I feel like I'm asleep, but I'm awake. So it's called a hypnagogic experience. And I would call that some sort of a dream. And I've had all kinds of different experiences that are not so much signs or visitations, but more just experiences on the paranormal.
And do you think that because of your mediumship abilities, that the focus, at least what you're talking about so far, has to be do with people who have passed away or who are going to pass away?
You know, I know that I have the ability to see things precognitively as well as connect with those that have passed. So it's okay. A combination of things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just... I don't even know how to describe it, and because it's such a part of me. I mean, it's sort of like riding a bike when I was 4 and 5 years old, and now I'm, you know, almost, I'm 60 years old, and so it's just a huge part of me. And so for me to pull it out and try to explain it, you know, it's like, okay, well, I know most people don't have these experiences, but I know amongst my medium friends, we have very similar experiences, so that's reassuring to me.
Sure, sure. You know, do you think, well, I assume you have regular dreams also, just dreams that are not psychic in nature.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have some dreams that are just freaky weird. You know, I wake up and it's like, what was that? You know, and I think that a lot of them is my unconscious dealing with just getting rid of some of the anxiety in life or, you know, but I can tell the difference if it's a precognitive dream or a visitation dream or just a dream where I'm like, okay, I'm really stressed out now and I'm dreaming weird things about my kids, you know. There's just a distinctive feeling when I come out of them. And also, right before I wake up is quite often the time I have a visitation dream. So I have my mom, my dad, my brother, my grandparents, all kinds of family members on the other side, and they'll come and visit me right before I wake up, which is wonderful because then I get to actually visualize them in my mind's eye, you know.
Well, yeah, and actually having the experience right before you wake up is important so you can actually remember.
Exactly. Yeah, all day, you know,
yeah,
or all month, you know. I'll give an example. I think you went into a little bit about my bio, but my brother and father were actually missing for a year and a half, and then their bodies emerged. And so I didn't really have a connection with them psychically or dream visitations or anything. And then about a year later, my brother and I were very, very close before he passed. And he came in my dream, which was just so exciting to me because I thought, where did he go? You know, I mean, if they said he's passed. I didn't really observe the body. I didn't have full closure, but he came in my dream and he wore glasses because he had a lot of vision problems. And the glasses were on the ground and that was my dream. I looked, I recognized his glasses. And then I looked up and it was him and my heart just jumped. It was like, I'm seeing my best friend again that I hadn't seen in a year and, you know, in like probably 2 years. And he hugged me and he looked at me and he goes, I didn't want this for you. This isn't what I wanted for you. And we were standing there embracing. And to this day, which was like 40 years later, I still vividly remember that dream. But that dream really helped me to realize, okay, he has passed and he is on the other side, where before I wasn't sure, you know. So it was therapeutic in that sense for me.
So have you talked to clients? Have your clients talked to you about their dreams as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And it comes in readings a lot where a loved one that's on the other side will say, you know, we've come in your dream, or I'm trying to come in your dream, and that kind of thing. And then the clients will say, oh, yeah, I had a dream right after they passed, but I haven't had one in a year or two, you know, that kind of thing. And I usually instruct them to communicate with them. Like before you go to bed, either say it, you know, in your thoughts or even say it out loud. Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you tonight, or I want you to come in my dream. And I always tell them it may not be that night, but just keep persisting, because if your loved ones are around you and they want to connect with you, they will somehow get in there.
Have they reported success with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I have a lot of repeat clients over the years.
Uh-huh.
And they've told me that. And I think, you know, it's wonderful that we can at least open our gates of information and open the lines of communication, where a lot of people will come to me initially and say, you know, tell my dad I love him. I'm like, you can tell him.
Right.
I mean, they hear you more than they hear me. I'm right now just helping you. So I'll teach them how to communicate with them through dreams, which is great for them too.
Well, and it seems like you're teaching them the right technique just in general for dream incubation, for really programming their dreams anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to say, just out of curiosity, when you're doing that, when you're telling them to try to talk to them, do you suggest to them that they also include an instruction that they should remember their dreams, since most people don't?
You know, there are some people that like to write things down. And then there's some people that like to just experience it. So if I get a feel that this is a person that is a research person or a person that writes things down, which I usually can kind of pick up on during the reading, and they'll say, you know, I'm pretty sure you have a journal next to your bed. And they're like, yeah, how do you know? You know, I'm like, well, I'm just kind of getting the feel for that. Or I'll say, write it down as soon as you wake up. In the event, let's say they wake up at 1 a.m. and then it's, you know, then they go back to sleep and then it's 6 a.m. when they wake up and they're, oh, I really wish I would have written down the dream. I forgot half of it, you know. And so I'll instruct them to write it down. But some dreams are so poignant and so clear that you don't need to write them down. You know, it just depends. Often the clients that have more of an intuitive ability, because there are some people have it more than others, they're the ones that report extremely vivid dreams. And it's really cool for me to hear them report them to me. So I love that.
Yeah. And over the years, I wrote a book, initial version of it was quite some time ago, called Psychic Dreaming, which was reissued a couple of years ago with just a revised edition, and did a lot of research. And since that time, I've done a lot of research talking to people who have had various psychic dreams. And you know, a few questions keep coming up. And one of them that I always get, not so much from the people who have the dreams, but people who ask about them, is how a normal person would tell the difference between a psychic dream and a normal dream, a regular dream, especially if they're having a seeming visitation. How would they know that that's really their father or grandfather versus just their unconscious presenting that as part of the metaphor of the dream?
Right. And I often tell my clients that if the person that, let's say they had a good relationship with them and then that person passed, and if they come into the dream happy and peaceful and loving and all that, that's them. But if they're coming in like really angry, or their face is distorted, or they just look like, you know, just not themselves, that's some kind of an entity getting, like, mixing you up and trying to mess with your grief. And and a lot of people are saying, yeah, thank you for telling me that, because I thought my dad was angry at me. And I don't know why he would be angry at me, you know, that kind of thing. But I feel like sometimes you get mixed up in your head.
Yeah, and I think also people don't rely on their feelings. They're just initial feelings about that dream and second-guess themselves quite a bit.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you said yourself that you had a particular feeling around the dream, and I think that's what I've heard mostly from people, is it felt different. Or it was vivid, as you mentioned. It was just simply such a vivid dream that they continue to remember it regardless of when they had it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's been some dreams that I didn't understand, but now as time passed on, now I understand. For instance, maybe 17, 18 years ago, my mom was still alive, and I had a dream that we were on a train, and I was trying to drive the train, which, trust me, I don't know how to drive a train. And she was just sitting behind me, and the train kept going faster and faster and faster. And I'm like, Mom, I can't stop it. I can't stop it. And I turned around and looked at her, and she said, honey, you're not going to be able to stop this. Well, 3 months later, my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer, and it was a very aggressive form of lung cancer that caused blood clots. And she ended up having two massive strokes and dying within 3 weeks. And I couldn't have stopped it. And I really think now I realize that dream was to prepare me. But, you know, trust me, my mom and I have never been on a locomotion, a train of any kind. Mm-hmm. It was a symbol, you know. And then I often say, who gave me that dream? You know, is it another loved one on the other side, or is it one of my guides? I'm not sure. But I was thankful for it, because it helped me to understand the whole situation a little better.
Sure. So do you think these dreams are actually, at least for you, are coming from some designated someone kind of pushing you in that direction versus your own ability tapping into the future?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think so. And I just don't think it's one. I think it's multiple.
Okay.
Grandparents, dad. I've had a dream of, weirdly enough, most people don't believe me, but I had a dream that Jesus came to me and he had his hand on my head and then on my boyfriend's head. And he looked at me and he said, "You're going to be okay." Well, that day, in actuality, I had a massive car accident and walked out of the car. I'm like, okay, was this a dream to prepare me? Or was this, I don't know what it was, but it, you know, while I'm spinning around in the car and watching my life flash before my eyes, I remembered that dream the night before. So, you know, there's all kinds of dreams. I'm still alive. I walked out of the car, you know.
Have you ever had a precognitive dream where you're able to, like, change things?
You know, I don't know, honestly.
Okay.
I know that some dreams, like, you know, a lot of people ask me, did you predict, you know, the 9/11? And I'm like, I may have had a sign of it. Now, I have had dreams of hurricanes coming when I lived in Florida and storms or something happening to one of my children and you know, and I just prepare them. I'll say, "Hey, kids, drive safer in the car," or, you know, "Your plane's going to be late, and just be prepared." You know, so I will prepare them if I see something going on. But I wake up with that reassuring, like you said, feeling that, yeah, this is this is legit. So, yeah.
What's your feeling? I mean, if you got information about, well, even let's say for that car accident, if you got more something a little more specific, telling you not to drive your car that day, would you have?
I wouldn't have gotten in the car. No, I wouldn't have said, "Forget it. I'm not going to the gym. I'm just going to stay here." You know, honestly,
right,
I wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that of course brings up the question: where did the information come from the future? If that future doesn't happen?
Yeah, I don't know. That's really interesting. It's a good question. Hard to say.
Yeah, it's something that we deal with in parapsychology all the time when we're talking about precognition, because we're not sure when anyone predicts the future. I mean, truly, it's getting it psychically, whether or not they're getting it from the most likely future or the one that's whether there definitely is a future there.
Yeah, and I will often tell my clients that these are opportunities. I said, I don't believe in set fortune telling. I believe you've got opportunities, you've got situations, that you still have some control of it and free will. And I always put it that way, and I think people are grateful of that, because, you know, if you hear in a psychic reading that, oh, you're going to have a massive head injury and you're going to have a car accident, you know, or you're going to have, you could have, so you might as well not get them and, you know, drive in this red car that I'm seeing, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right. Of course, you could also put yourself in a situation where you get that head injury.
Yeah. And then you're like, why didn't I listen? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And people do misinterpret. That's the thing about dream symbols, is that people can misinterpret metaphors differently, even for a given situation. And they sometimes can make the wrong choices if they're trying to alter the future.
Exactly. And then I talk to some people, which I find fascinating, and I don't understand it, because I'm such a vivid dreamer, and my mother was a vivid dreamer, and my grandmothers and my kids, you know, I think we've inherited this ability to have vivid dreams. And then sometimes we just sit around and talk about our dreams, which is, for people that don't dream, they look at me like I'm wacko. And, you know, so, but it amazes me that some people, like, I don't dream. I'm like, you're kidding me. You have to.
Well,
dream.
Actually,
like, no.
they have to dream. They would be psychotic if they didn't dream.
Right.
And maybe they are. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, maybe. Really, I don't know. Yeah, or maybe they're taking too many sleeping pills or something. So, but yeah,
well, you know, in all the research that I've done on dreams, and I think most of the people who have done certainly much better than me, whether they're neuroscientists or coming at it from a psychological perspective. We do know from sleep research that everybody dreams, but not everybody remembers their dreams or that they had them.
Yeah.
So it's not even an issue of whether they dreamed. It's just that they don't remember.
Right. Exactly. I mean, everybody goes into some kind of REM sleep. So it's it's interesting to me. And then when I would like have a dream of a symbol, like I always, for some reason, when I need protection, I dream of a white wolf coming right in front of my face with blue eyes. And I'll say to someone in my life, friends, family, whoever, I'm like, I had a dream of the white wolf. And the people that believe in dreams are like, that's cool. Yeah, you know, it means you're being protected. And those of my friends and family that, you know, think, oh, they look at me like, so? It's just a white wolf. I'm like, you don't understand. It's a repeated theme. My wife, a white wolf. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah. And so,
yeah, it's your personal indicator.
Exactly. You have to watch who you're talking about these dreams. Because some people really read into them. And then some people just, you know, well, I'm just talking, you know. So different perceptions on dreams. It's interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, even in the sciences, looking at dreams, there's a wide range of opinions as whether what dreams are for, and there's even neuroscientists or people on the materialist science side who claim that one should not even try to remember one's dreams, whereas we have like hundreds of years of different cultures working with their dreams, and certainly decades of modern people doing that, where it's very clear that working through your dreams is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's interesting. My left brain, right brain, or wherever you're coming from, I guess your upbringing and your education influences. But I find them fascinating. And when I have clients tell me that they've had a dream of whatever, I stop the reading, I listen, and it's not so much I give them an interpretation, but if there is an interpretation coming in that I'm hearing, feeling, seeing on a medium level. I always tell them, and they're like, oh, I dreamt of, you know, this dollar bill, that, and I don't know what it's about. And then I'll just kind of say, well, let's see, if, you know, if your dad's talking about the dollar bill, you know, if it's a symbol for you. So pretty fascinating.
That's great. That's great. Well, we'll take this up again after a short break. So we'll just go to break for a moment and come back.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, they are present. Available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, so welcome back, everybody. My guest tonight is Eliza Ray. I am Lloyd Auerbach, the president of the Forever Family Foundation, and we're talking about psychic dreams and related matters as well with certified medium Eliza Ray. So Eliza, you'd mentioned to me before the show started that you had had some experiences in the hypnagogic state, which is kind of that state between sleep and wakefulness that people are often in. What kind of experiences did you have you had in that kind of state?
Could go on and on and on about those.
Tell us a good one.
I've got two that are pretty prominent.
Okay.
And they're kind of frightful. When I was about 5 or 4 and a half, I lived in this house that it was kind of an older home. And at nighttime, I could barely sleep. And my mom would come down and say, "There's nothing here." I'm like, "There is. I can't sleep. They're all over me." Right. So then I would go to sleep. And then I thought I was awake, but I was asleep. I look in the window above my bed, and there was this, what looked like a witch to me, like a scary-faced witch. And I was so scared that I thought I was asleep, but I thought I was awake, but I was actually asleep. And so I started screaming, but nothing came out of my mouth. And then I woke myself up, whatever that was, and I realized, oh, I think I was dreaming, but maybe I was awake. So I went through this. A good portion of my life, a lot of dreams like that. And then when I was about 15 or 16, I kept having them all throughout my life. In 15 or 16, I remember this so vividly too. I was sleeping middle of the night and I woke up thinking that one of my brothers had snuck into my bed because they were scared or whatever. And I felt a presence in front of me. And I was thinking, okay, you know, my brother Charlie, I'm like, this isn't funny, you know, really, you're this is not a funny joke. And I opened my eyes and I did not recognize my brother. It was this entity with dark eyes, dark hair, looked like a guy. And he said to me, "Don't worry, I won't hurt you." And then I went out of my body, flew up into the, it sounds wacko crazy to some people that don't understand it, but I know you understand. And I was in the corner of my room and I was looking down at my bed and me and this entity. And then I remember the peaceful, wonderful feeling. I'm like, "Oh, this is so bad. I love this." And then as soon as I said that, then boom, I felt a thug and I was back in my body. Then I, again, kind of woke up, even though I thought I was awake. And I realized, wow, I don't know what that was, but it was pretty life changing. So then I told my parents, and they've been listening to me talk like this forever. And my mom said, "Well, I think we need to bring her to a psychiatrist." So they brought me to a psychiatrist and a psychologist that did hypnosis and to help me to sleep and not have these whatever they were experiences. And I'd never heard of hypnagogic experiences prior to that. And they hypnotized me during the first session. And I remember coming out of it, and the psychologist looked at me and I said, "So what do I expect now?" And he said, "All I know is that you're really psychic." And I went, "What?" No, you're supposed to help me sleep. He said, "No, but you'll be able to sleep better from here on out." So I didn't have as many of those experiences after that, except when I was in a deep state of stress, then I would have them again. But they weren't like every other night like they were. I mean, it was just a part of my world. So I think it's some kind of a glitch in my brain or something, but I don't know any other family member that has it, but it's just a part of me. But I have gotten some messages through other family members that have passed during that state. And so I don't now feel like it's a negative thing or I'm going to see witches and entities or whatever. And occasionally I still do, but I just learned how to kick it out. I'm like, oh, okay, go away. you're not helping me today. So those are two prominent ones.
I think the hard part for a lot of people is that state between as people are waking up or right before they wake up and into where they're fully awake, the hypnagogic state is really, first of all, we know in our research in the field that it is a state that people are often more psychic. I mean, people are more psychic in their dreams. And here they are kind of at least half conscious out of the dream state. But sometimes the dream imagery kind of follows them into that state and gets conflated with some other stuff that they're getting. But but it certainly also is a state that people have reported out about experiences quite often. It's that that situation where they're looking down on themselves or even traveling to other places for that matter.
Done that too. So it's fun. I remember after I had that, the last one I was explaining to you where the entity was laying next to me that I thought was my brother. And my mother had a psychic friend. And about a couple days after that, the psychic friend called my mom and said, "We're having my friend and I, my other psychic friend," she said, "we saw your daughter in a vision, and there's something in the southeast corner of your house, blah, 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 blah." Mom went and looked in that corner of the house, and there was a Ouija board. And then she didn't tell me, but she said, "I destroyed it. I burned it. I got rid of it. I'm not going to tell you where I put it." And then she just asked me, "How are you sleeping?" And I said, "Well, a little better. I'm not being visited by, you know." And then she said, "Well, honey, I want to let you know that the Ouija board has been destroyed, and I think that's what was pulling in the negative." I'm like, "Okay, well, I don't care what it was, but I'm sleeping better." So interesting, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that I've been around Ouija boards all my life, and I also know a little bit about the history and how it was not as bad as people thought it was until the movie The Exorcist came out. That was actually the turning point in popular culture, but that changed people's beliefs. And I think the intention and belief that people have around those things sometimes is the problem.
Exactly.
It just kind of sticks with that. So do you actually teach people how to work with their dreams at all? Do you work with them that way other than in the context of actually during the readings that you're doing that?
Not so much work with them, but as I mentioned before, I have them try to connect with their loved ones, because a lot of times they say, "I just don't feel them anymore. I don't hear them anymore," you know, and then I will mention to them, well, you know, ask them or think of them or put a picture next to your bed or something in that sense. So I haven't done a lot of work with people to help them to deal with maybe the dreams that are disturbing or to help them so they can have dreams that are enhancing. So I have not done that, no.
Is that something that has kind of come up even in the context of those specific dreams that people are telling you? It sounded like you give them advice about how to work with those, you know, how to interpret those particular dreams.
Right. And if they, let's say, have, like I mentioned before, have a dream, let's say, of the dollar bill, and we're in the middle of a reading and, you know, I'm connected with, let's say, their father that passed, and then they're talking about the dollar bills, and they're saying, "Is the dollar bill a sign from my dad?" And, you know, and then I'll connect with their father and say, "Yeah, yeah," or "Nay," or "No, it's just from your uncle," you know, and he's showing me $5 bills, you know, whatever. So it's sometimes it's a lead into, but, you know, people mainly will come and have a reading because they just want to connect with those that have passed. And So I'm not doing a lot of dream work, but it's something I could consider in the future.
And when people, do people tell you that they've had dreams or repeating dreams of relatives who are going to die and mm-hmm. in any circumstances? I've had people come to me with that kind of thing over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I haven't had a lot of people say that, but I have had mothers say, I just had a bad feeling about him going overseas, or I didn't like, you know, and then their son or daughter dies, that type of thing, and goes, and they say, I just felt like this or something, you know, that kind of thing. So it becomes more of an intuitive, precognitive experience for a lot of them, but they don't usually explain it in dreams. Now, I know with personally myself, I could mention a lot of them, but one of them, my grandfather and I were very, very close, and he came in my dream. He had already passed when I was 12, and he came in my dream when I was about 20, and he was extending his hand out to my grandmother, who was still here with me in physical form on the earth, and he looked at me, and he said, my family calls me Bethy, because I'm Elizabeth. Bethy, I'm taking your grandma in about 6 months, and I woke up, and I thought, wow, you know, it was great to see him. So then I went over to my grandma's house, and I said, Grandma, I just want you to know Grandpa came in my dream. And she said, oh, good. I'm so excited. She couldn't wait to be with him again, you know, and she mm-hmm. believed me. So, and she did pass about 6 or 7 months later. So it was pretty cool. So it was not just for me. It was, she needed to hear that, you know, that he was waiting for her. So pretty cool stuff.
That is very cool stuff. Yeah, the people who've come to me who have had multiple dreams about relatives dying, because I'm not a medium, so I think they're not even thinking in that direction, that it's communication from the other side that's kind of preparing them. They mm-hmm. Some of them actually tend to think that they're actually causing it.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I think if it's so clear, like the dream I just mentioned, I think people need to listen to it and believe it. I think a lot of people doubt so many things, and doubt and yeah. fear get in the way of a lot of our decisions and a lot of our positive thinking. And if they get so wallowed up in the negative doubt and fear, I think it messes up their head.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say that it can also come from the other direction? So it's not just doubt and fear, but they're actually seeing signs of communication everywhere, and they mm-hmm. get too wrapped up in it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that too. And, you know, it's just, I find it fascinating. And I always tell people that it's like another world for me. I live in two worlds. I live
right,
there
right.
and I live here. And so when people say, yeah, I've been dreaming about this and dreaming about that, I'm like, isn't that wonderful? And they're like, but it's just a dream. I'm like, maybe it's not. I said, you need to think of the dream as an experience, you know, because I do believe that we can come out of our physical body and travel. I know that I personally have. When I had surgery about a year and a half ago, I was under anesthesia, mm-hmm. and I came out of my body. I know I did, because the nurse that was working to kind of prepping me, she had left the room when I was already under. She went down this hall. She went in the bathroom. So I'm coming out of anesthesia, and I looked at her. I think her name was Bobby or something like that. And I said, Bobby, when I was under and the doctor was doing surgery, did you leave the room, go down the hall on the right, and then go on the left, and then go in the bathroom on the left? And she said, yeah. She said, how did you know that? And I'm like, hell, maybe I was dreaming it, because people don't dream when they're under anesthesia. I'm like, well, I think I was, you know. So there's all kinds of different states. And when other clients have talked to me about these experiences when they're under anesthesia, or when, you know, they travel, or when they're exhausted, or under stress, or just wanting to experience something, I just say, isn't that wonderful? It's a great, great experience, because I just feel like some people question it too much. You know, you just yeah. can't read into it too much. But then the signs sometimes are very clear, and you need to pay attention to those too.
Yeah, I think people do question, they second guess very often what their experiences are. I think partly because our society, as much as people want to believe, and we certainly, all the polls say that people believe in ESP and they believe in mediumship and they believe in life after death, but still, I think people overtly don't want to put that across.
That's right, because you can't, like, I can't pick it up and hold it in my hand, tactily feel it. It's a whole different sensation. And, you know, I think society is starting to be more accepting of it. But I know when I do my readings, I feel like I'm tested all the time. Like, okay, prove to me that this is right, or, you know, prove to me that this dream I had, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, I'm not here to be tested, you know, or you're not here right. to be tested. You need to pay attention to what you're dreaming and just believe it and be comfortable with that. But, yeah, there's a lot of doubt, and I just think if people paid attention to it more, I think it probably would help them in general. But I had a funny dream. I just keep talking about my relatives, but I have so many on the other side. I was asking my mom, who had now passed, and I said, Mom, I need a sign that you're coming around in my world. And at the time, I was working at the Mayo Clinic. I'm an occupational therapist, and I work up in hospitals on the side and do this, too. So my mom was a nurse. So in my dream, I came out onto this one floor in the hospital, and there were like 30 dimes on the floor in my dream. And I'm like, okay. And my mom was standing there showing me the dimes. I went, okay, that's cool. Does that mean I'm going to get money? That'd be great, right? So I woke up. I thought, oh, that was a cool dream. Thanks, Mom. Yeah. And then about 2 weeks later, I'm walking on that same floor, and I'd forgotten about the dream. Opened the door, the same floor. Guess what was on the floor? 30 dimes. And I went and counted them on, like, oh my. And like, okay, I guess you're telling me now that the dimes are my sign. So when I find dimes in weird random places, which I do, I often say, okay, thanks, Mom. Put it in my pocket, you know. So well, I think we can get signs and symbols and just ask our loved ones to give sure. it to us.
Yeah, I also know of people who've had precognitive dreams which are incredibly mundane, and they just wonder about why they're so mundane, where they'll dream, so speaking of dimes, they'll dream about going to work the next day, and somehow they dream of their sit down at their desk and they look down and there's a quarter sitting there. They can even see the date on it. And then they go into work the next day, and that's exactly what's happened, that this quarter is just sitting there. And that's the entire dream. Yeah. Not that there were any other signs. It's just that sometimes our psychic ability just I think it just simply does stuff that we would normally have happen in our senses also.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. So, I know I have two daughters and they're in their 20s, and I will get phone calls because one lives here in town in the Phoenix area and one lives in Texas. And I'll get these phone calls of, you know, they're reporting in their dreams, Mom, I had this dream of blah, 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 you know. And my one daughter who's younger than me, she has a lot of precognitive dreams, more than I do. I get more visitations from those on the other side. But she'll see, like, when she was playing basketball, and she said, I had a dream, and I saw the numbers up on the, and it was like, you know, 45 to 60 or something, and I saw this girl, and she was really mean, and I was like, working, and I'm like, honey, okay, enjoy the game. And then the next day, the game came on, she could see, Mom, that was, look at the thing. It was in my dream. I'm like, that's great, hon. Great. So I get these, I think it's interesting because I think it's somewhat of an inherited thing that we inherit our ability to dream more than others. And now that my family and my kids know that it's a topic of conversation, they'll bring it up and talk about it. So it helps them. Yeah.
Well, it's also pretty clear from some of the folks who do dream work that the more you talk about your dreams, the more you remember, because you're putting an intention about it. In fact, when I was writing my book on psychic dreaming, I'd remember dreams once in a while, but for the entire time I researched and wrote my book on psychic dreaming, I was remembering more dreams than I had ever in my life remembered. Mm-hmm. And then the day I sent my manuscript in, it all went back to normal.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, apparently I didn't need to remember anymore at that point.
No, you were done.
Right.
That was it. Yeah.
So we'll take another break right now.
Okay.
And come back, talk a little bit about mediumship.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. We'll be back in a moment.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Lloyd Auerbach, president of the Forever Family Foundation. And with me today is Eliza Ray, a certified medium with the foundation and a certified research medium with the Winbridge Research Center. And we've been talking about psychic dreams in general and her specific psychic dreams and communication with folks from the other side through your dreams, visitations and such. But let's talk just a little bit about mediumship. And, you know, one thing I'm always curious to talk to mediums about is, and this is maybe this is a generalization for this for everybody at the Forever Family Foundation, but every medium I've spoken to or talked to with the Forever Family Foundation comes across as a normal person, which is contrary to what most popular culture images would be. And do you get, you work as an occupational therapist, you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do those folks that you work with know that you do mediumship also, or does this just come up casually in conversation?
Well, you know, some people that are my friends that I work with,
sure,
they figure it out, which is interesting. And some I tell because I'm like, by the way, I have another job. So I'll do readings a couple times after my other job in the evening. And they're like, what's your other job? You know, but they also know because I work with autistic kids at one job. And then I work with very sick people on weekends and schools out that are, some of them are near death and some of them are coming out of surgery. And so then I'll communicate with the other therapists that I work with, like, you know, I'm just not feeling it, or this kid really is needing, and they're like, how do you know this? And I'm like, well, it's just, you know, who
right.
I am, you know. And after a while, people will realize that she's got, you know, some sensitivity or intuition. But it's not something that I walk around and tell people, by the way, I'm a medium, and if you want, you know, I just feel like it naturally will occur if a person needs it. I think that some people, like I have, for instance, a couple weeks ago, I had a cousin that had passed, and it was very disturbing because he was very young and it was very sudden. And it brought me down because I heard about it in a day. And this woman that I hardly ever talked to at work, she's a librarian, and she comes up to me and started talking to me, and before I know it, she's telling me all about both of her sons that had passed, and going on and on. And I thought, well, I'm supposed to be here for her now. You know, I'm supposed to, and I think that it's for some reason, either the natural flow or her guides or whoever was moving her in my direction, because she felt like she could relate to me. So, and I still didn't tell her, by the way, I do this to help people. You know, I feel like that's one of the reasons I'm here. But I felt like whatever was coming out of advice for her was actually beneficial. So it was interesting. But most of the time, though, and then I've had a lot of clients tell me, you're just so normal. I'm like, what do you want me to be? I mean,
well, you know, there is this pop culture thing. We see this in not so much in the portrayals of people doing readings on TV these days, but if you go back in time, like, you know, 15, 20 years, especially, a medium or a psychic appears on a cop show, and that person all inevitably is a phony and is the killer, something like that. The medium who is communicating with spirits is writhing around on the ground while they're communicating with the spirits.
No, it's just casual conversation. It just kind of comes in. So, yeah, it's interesting to me. I remember this one woman I was doing readings for, and she lived in Texas. And then I went to Texas, And she said, can I meet you in person and do a reading? I'm like, yeah, of course. That'd be great. And then she meets me. She goes, you're just so little and normal. And I'm like, thanks. What did you want? You know, this big, powerful, you know. Anyway, and she goes, well, I don't understand. You know, and I'm like, well, that's me. I mean, what can I say? I've been this way my whole life, you know. But, right. Yeah, I get it a lot. Like, you're just so normal. I'm like, what is normal?
Well, that's the problem. You know, that is the case in today's society, especially. It is what is normal, but there are just so many stereotypes and misconceptions out there. It's one of the things the Forever Family Foundation tries to get out there, in fact.
And but I'm very particular about who I tell. Like, let's say I work at another hospital here in town, and this one girl figured it out. She goes, now I can't be around you because you can read my mind all the time. I'm like,
right.
No, I can't. I'm not like walking around, you know, like with feelers all day. I have to kind of get in a mode, but there's sometimes it comes in, you know. But she became very standoffish toward me. I'm like, I don't understand, but that's your choice. You know, I'm just being your friend.
Well, that's the problem. That is the problem quite a bit. I do see that, and I have seen that over years. And I'm also, besides working as a researcher in this field, I also have been kind of a parallel career doing psychic entertainment. So I kind of faking it on stage, more or less. But I've had people say to me, you know, well, you can read my mind. It's like, believe me, I don't want to get either too interested or too disgusted.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I have this one guy friend, and I did reading. I on and off will do readings for him, but years ago, that's how I met him. And so we'll go out to dinner occasionally, and I'll say, and he'll look at me, he goes, who's around me right now? I'm like, stop. You know, I said, I just want to eat my sushi and have my glass of wine. Just stop. Okay. And then by the end of because he's wanting to connect, by the end of our dinner, I'm like, well, your mom is kind of there and she's talking about, what is she saying? I'm like, well, I'm just going to say it for 30 seconds and then I'm getting back to my glass of wine. Okay. So, so if they want it and they bring it in, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you can just turn it off, turn it on and off, whatever you want?
Well, yes and no. I can really focus when I'm doing a reading, but there's times when I'm out in the world and I'll see an apparition, or I'll go in an old building and I'll feel someone tapping my shoulder, or, you know, I'm around somebody and I'll be like, oh man, I'm seeing your grandma, or, you know, and sometimes there's a reason why I'm experiencing that. But most of the time I try to not go in that state, just because it make me crazy all day.
Right. Right. Do you feel that there's a difference between, you know, I guess what some people call earthbound spirits and the ones from the other side?
Absolutely. Do you run into... Absolutely. Yeah. And
so,
there's no doubt.
I was going to say for the because, you know, I do primarily field research and I do a lot of investigations and I've had some really good apparition cases where they certainly have not passed on. In fact, I have a couple still happening where they're still there. And you know, what I've seen there, like, this is back to the folklore thing, the pop culture folklore, that there's this idea that either ghosts don't know that they're dead, or they have unfinished business, or there's, you know, specific reasons for all ghosts, all earthbound spirits, which doesn't seem to hold water, because they're people.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Is that kind of your impression as well?
Yeah. I'm going to try to compare it for those that don't have these experiences. Let's say you walk into a party and some people are like real standoffish. Some people are very friendly. Some people are, you know, sort of there for the show, you know. And so most people can get a feel like, oh, he's just kind of, you know, standoffish, or he's just, wow, you know. And so when I'm experiencing, I call them the dark shadows, and sometimes I see the white flashes, then I just know, okay, well, that's who they are. And then sometimes when I'm experiencing something that's someone has actually passed, and I'm actually seeing them usually 2-3 feet above the ground in physical form, and I'll see, you know, their clothes and their face and all that. And so there's a huge difference. And then sometimes when there's a negative entity, that someone that has passed that maybe just is angry when they pass, or, you know, let's say they were someone that did some awful things to they raped their sister or something, right? And
right,
they'll come in, and maybe the night before I do a reading, and I'll see them literally kind of standing in my doorway, and I'll be like, no, go away, you know. So it's just, I've had to learn how to decipher who it is, and it's just based on, I don't know how to describe it, it's just knowing this is that kind of person, and that's that kind of spirit, and that's that kind of spirit. It's the same thing. There's different kinds of people, and there's different kinds of energies.
Well, I think as human beings, you know, when we meet people, we sometimes get a vibe or a feel that this is a person we want to know, or this is a person we don't want to know. Whether we have to know them or not is a different story. But you know, it happens depending on how standoffish, well, how the person presents themselves. Obviously, when they're alive or dead, apparently is a big part of that.
Yeah, for sure. When I've gone into older homes, older apartments, older, you know, churches or whatever, and let's say I have to spend the night there, which I try not to because I won't sleep, and I have to work so hard on pushing these things away because some of them they don't connect because people aren't perceiving them, and then someone, a medium will walk in and be like, oh, they see me. Oh my gosh, you know, and
right,
you know,
right.
And then I'm going, no, you don't understand. I'm here to sleep. Go away. And so it's like work. It's like some annoying person coming to your door when you're trying to sleep and they're like, oh, see me, talk to me. And you're going, no, go away. You know, and then they keep coming back. Yeah. So that's an occurrence too. So I have to be very careful where I sleep and where I try to rest.
Well, I know that was a problem. I've worked with a few mediums over the years in my investigations, and my late colleague Annette Martin, we would go on cases and walk in, and if there was an apparition, they're great, but she'd always have to stand outside the house and say, okay, anybody who's out here, do not come in the house. I have to fix this first, and then I'll deal with you later.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said it was almost as soon as she kind of like turned on her ability or focused her ability, it was like being a lighthouse.
A light. That's, yeah, exactly.
That would go out and just draw them there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I had this, I don't know why I just remember this one experience. I lived in an older home, and I loved this house for some reason. In 1920s, it was built, and I lived there in the early 2000s. And at nighttime, I would hear someone going up the steps. And I was thinking, okay, who's bothering me? Or maybe it's one of those precognitive experiences again. Who knows? And so, and then I had to move out of this really cool old house. And there was a man standing at my door in spirit with a gray suit on. And he was not happy with me. It looked like he had like a military suit on. He had a beard and all this. And then the next day, I was working at the hospital as an occupational therapist, and I remembered the guy that built the house. He had a unique name, and then the patient's name was the same last name. So I go in to see this patient. I said, did you have a family member, name was Clyde, you know, whatever his name was? And she said, yes, that was my brother-in-law. I'm like, oh, I think he built my house. Was he in the military with the gray suit, and did he have salt and pepper hair? She goes, oh, yes. She goes, how do you know? I'm like, I don't know. I think I've seen a picture, you know. So I was getting a visitation, but it was sort of like he was checking in, you know, so there was a reason. And it didn't scare me. But this living in that old house, there was all kinds of visitations in there. I had to get out of there.
Sounds like
that's
it.
All I can say. Yeah, and doors were slamming in the, it was like, and my kids were freaking out. Mom, we're not going upstairs by ourselves. I'm like, okay, girl, no matter how much cleansing we can do to this house.
Wow. So do you have any upcoming events or anything that people should know about?
Not yet, but I am in process of looking for and hoping that an agent comes around, because I have written a book called There's a Man Standing Next to Me, and I really don't want to self-publish this one. I'd like to get on the road and talk about being medium and how people can connect with those that have passed, and my experiences with my brother and father passing, and how it helped me to be more in tune, as well as knowing that my role in life is to help people doing medium work. So that's the big upcoming thing at this point.
Gotcha. And do you do, have you done like group readings, or do you stick with like the one-on-one?
No, I do like family readings usually. The gallery readings, I've done them before, but I always feel bad for, you know, the 50 other people when there's 60 people there, when I only caught, you know, I only touched on 10. I will limit my group readings to usually 15 or 20 people. And I usually try to get some message to somebody, I mean, to everybody, if they want it. I just feel like that is more helpful. It is easier if I do like one or two or three person readings, but there are times when people want to, you know, they have a party and they want to have a big group reading, and that's fine too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know that talking to mediums and actually sitting in gallery readings and just talking to the mediums before and after, it's always tough, because it seems that the mediums are more concerned about getting everybody than the actual audience is. They just, a lot of people in the audience just want to see what's happening.
Right.
Well, we're just about out of time now. I want to thank you very much, Eliza, for your time tonight, and just tell everyone that they can find out all about you at www.elizaray.com, and Ray is spelled R-E-Y. They can also connect to you through the Forever Family Foundation's website and our list of certified mediums. We have a link for you, and that's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And I hope that people will check you out and connect with you, and that you have a great time. And I'll mention for myself, I've got my book, Psychic Dreaming, which is out and has been out for a little while. It's available on Amazon and other online booksellers. So with that, I want to thank you again, Eliza. Have a great
night.
Thank
you, Lloyd. It was wonderful.
Great talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.